For the first study today, we're going to have a fellowship question and answer, fellowship time question and answer, fellowship with God and His Word. And I'd like to just begin with a question we received through the website, and then open it up to anyone who has anything here. We're on Pal Talk, if anyone on Pal Talk has a question or a comment. Now, this person is writing after receiving the tract. Well, they either received it or they read it online, because there's a contact address on the back of the tract that people respond. And I think that's great. They can write us and let us know what they think about the tract. And with this tract, with Judgment Day, May 21, 2011, the title of the track, and that day getting closer and closer, we are finding people are responding from around the world. And so this person is writing from Gaborone, Botswana, and writes, "How did you calculate the date of the flood as 4990 BC? Where did you derive that the second coming will be 7,000 years later?" Now, of course, we know that that information can be found in family radio books like Adam Land, which you can read online. You can go to familyradio.com and click on their literature page, and they have the book Adam Land, and you can read it right there, and also many other booklets and books that you can read. And that will really help you because you can take your time. You can look at it's all laid out and think about it and pray for wisdom and guidance. And really, the answer is how the date of the flood was calculated at this time. There was a prior attempt, at least one, probably many others, to calculate when the flood occurred. And that was the one we hear about most, and the one that the churches hold to today, and that just about all churches hold to, is Bishop Usher's chronology, which he dates creation about 4004 B.C. And people really like that because they believe Jesus died in 4 B.C. because that's the date that Herod died, and they don't understand that Jesus wasn't born the very year Herod died, but it had to be at least a couple years earlier, because he calculated the time that he had ascertained from the wise men, and then he had all the children destroyed. And so it wasn't 4 B.C. The correct date for Christ's birth is 7 B.C. But Usher has a creation date of 4004 B.C., and they thought it was an even 4,000 years to Christ's birth. And even back then, as Usher wrote centuries ago, people saw, well, even periods of thousands of years must be very important. And even the church recognizes that, because they accept that date, because they feel, well, an even 4,000 years has to be important. And yet, of course, Usher, if he has creation in 4004 B.C., he's missing about 7,000 years of history, and that's hard to hide. That's hard to hide. He's off by 7,000 years. And so he has many erroneous dates that the same people who will tell you 4004 is creation won't tell you the other dates he gives, because they know they're wrong. Like, for instance, he has Solomon reigning about 1014 B.C. And most secular archaeologists and biblical archaeologists date Solomon reigning 970 or 971 B.C. to 930 or 931 B.C. There's a lot of agreement on that. And so Usher is about 40 or 50 years off on the date of Solomon, which pushes everything else off. Actually, he thinks the flood occurred in about 2,500 and a few years B.C. The flood, 2,500 B.C. Well, we have pyramids. that go back in history older than that, to 3000 and later BC. We have the Mayan calendar that's dated at, 3112 BC. And so normally secular archaeologists of course don't accept any of those dates. They don't accept them at all. But since there's no other date out there that for creationists to accept, well, isn't there? Yes, there is a other date out there, and it's the date from the Bible itself that Mr. Camping, by God's grace, discovered, I don't know how many years ago, I think it was in the early 70s, so it would be about 40 years. 40 years the book Adam When has been out there, and very exactly and precisely gives what the Bible says, the biblical calendar of history, which is that creation began 11,013 B.C., the flood occurred in 4990 B.C., some 2,400 years earlier than Usher indicated, and Abraham was born 2167 B.C., Isaac was born 100 years after that in 2067 B.C., Jacob was born 60 years after that in 2007 B.C., and Jacob went into Egypt at the age of 130 in the year 1877 B.C. How long was Israel in Egypt? 430 years to the very day until 1447 B.C. So we have all these dates, and the Bible's calendar that Mr. Camping has laid out is different than Usher's calendar by 7,000 years. 7,000 years. Therefore, if the dates that we have for the creation of the world and Adam, and if the dates we have for the flood and so on are off, then the possibility is that, or the likelihood would be, they would be off not even by just 1 or 2 or 5 or 10 years, but hundreds to thousands of years. As we work down the biblical calendar of history through the dates that are accepted and recognized by the most archaeologists, whether secular or biblical, right? If your starting point is so far off, in other words, by thousands of years, and you're working down a genealogy that God has in the Bible, and you're coming down to the same people that Usher talks about and gives dates for, then shouldn't the genealogy that starts so far back in history be way, way off? But what do we find? Well, we can confirm the accuracy of the biblical calendar that is written about in books like Adam Lynn. Because, let's say Solomon. He reigned from 971. I'll give you the correct dates. 971 is when he became king in a co-regency with David. And David lived 4 more years because while David was living, God didn't want the temple to be constructed, even though David made much preparation. 4 years later, David died at the age of 70. Solomon, in the 4th year of his reign, then immediately laid the foundation of the temple. And that would be the year 967 B.C. Now, we know these dates are accurate, well, from the Bible, but also from just about all archaeological... Check it out. Type in the date of Solomon in Google. Just go ahead, go to Google, and type it in, secular archaeologists or biblical archaeologists, and they pretty much all agree. 930 or 31, Solomon died after a 40-year reign. So therefore, he began 971 to 931. His 4th year was 967. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of Jehovah. Now that is 967 BC plus 480. And, well, I know the date, it's not fair, but it's what year? Who can do the math? 967 plus 480 is? 1447 BC. Well, what happened in 1447? Well, this date of the laying of the foundation in 967 BC, it was the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, in 1447 BC, Israel came out of Egypt. Right? Right? 1447, that's the date. Don't listen to anyone who tries to change it. That's the date. 1447. How long was Israel in Egypt? 430 years to the selfsame day. So now we have the date of the Exodus, 1447 plus 430 equals 1877 B.C. as the date they entered Egypt, which was when, not when Joseph entered Egypt, but when Jacob and his family entered Egypt. And do we know how old Jacob was when he entered Egypt? Yeah, because he stood before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh just happened to ask him that question. But he was an old guy, and so Pharaoh said, "How old are you?" And Jacob said, "Well, I'm 130." And that was the year 1877 B.C. So let's just add 30, makes it 1907 plus 100, 2007 B.C. Jacob was born, Esau was born, the twins were born. 2007 B.C., when Isaac was how old? 60. Therefore, go back 60 years. Isaac was born in 2067 B.C. When Abraham was how old? 100. So Abraham was born 2167 B.C. And you see, if you go the other way, from Adam in 11,013 B.C. being created, and you follow the biblical calendar of history in the early chapters of Genesis, in Genesis 5 and Genesis 11, you're going to find it comes down through the history when this one begat that one, and there are certain keys to understanding that exactly on those dates. Exactly on the same dates that we would have to say, as it comes all the way down to Solomon in 930-31, the same dates that are accepted by the biblical archaeologists and the secular archaeologists. Therefore, the earth is 13,022 years and 2 months old in a few days. And yes, 1988 was the 13,000th year of history. Yes, 2011 is the 7,000th year from the flood. Now this person goes on. The second question was, where did you derive that the second coming will be 7,000 years later? And that's a good question. Let's look at 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. Which says, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So, wherever we find days mentioned in the Bible, we can just substitute 1,000 of years. Right? Like when God created the world in 6 days. We can substitute 1,000 years. We can't. We can't. Well, what gives us the right to say that the flood will be 7,000 years from, that the end of the world will be 7,000 years from the flood? Well, we go back to Genesis 7, verse 4, as God is speaking to Noah, and he says, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." God said to Noah, yet 7 days. And he tells us in 2 Peter 3:8, one day is as 1,000 years. And we know the date of the flood is 4990 B.C. And 2011 is exactly 7,000 years later. Yes, but what's the one thing that's missing? Well, what gives me the right to say that? I mean, there's many references to days in the Bible. Why is it that I can go back to Genesis 7, verse 4, and make that connection that a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day, but I can't do it elsewhere? Why? What gives us the biblical justification for tying that in? Well, the answer is God gave it to us. If we go back to 2 Peter 3, again, and look at the context of, we read verse 8, but look what comes before it in verse 4, and saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Then comes the verse we read, "One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." What was the Lord just talking about in the previous verses? The flood. The flood, the first world. And what follows after verse 8 when He says a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day? Verse 10, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." We have a discussion of the destruction of the first world by water, the flood. Discussion of our present world by fire, which is coming soon. And right placed strategically in the middle. One day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So God is directing us, basically, look back to the flood very carefully. And when I tell Noah that he has 7 days before the world is destroyed by water, and he has only 7 days to get into the ark, which represents Christ, well, you see what I'm also saying, that was true historically, but I'm also saying spiritually, you have 7,000 years, and that's it. And that's it. 7,000 years, and after the 1 week period, the 7 days, God shut the door of the ark. No more chance for anybody of the world prior to the flood to be delivered. At least while that door was open, there was the possibility from their vantage point of being delivered. But once God shut the door, no more possibility. And 7,000 years later, on May 21, 2011, which happens to be the 17th day of the second month of the Hebrew calendar, the exact day God shut the door in Noah's calendar, God shuts the door, the opportunity of salvation again, and this time forever, on this world. Well, that's the tie-in God makes in Himself. Is there anywhere else in the Bible where God speaks of a day as 1,000 years? Can anyone think of another place? Psalm 90. Let's look at Psalm 90, because this is all we can do. We look at the context that God gives that verse in 2 Peter 3, and then we search the Bible. Is anywhere else where God speaks in that way, relating a day to 1,000 years? And it says in verse 3 of Psalm 90, "Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up." That's the only other reference in the Bible where God makes that kind of comparison. And here, 1,000 years was like yesterday, meaning in the past. In the past. Well, Moses is the one God used to write Psalm 90, and he died 1407, was it? 1407 B.C., in the 40th year, as they were about to enter into the Promised Land. And so therefore, this reference to 1,000 years like yesterday, which is a day, but it's a past day, is pointing to something in the past. And the next verse speaks about being carried away with a flood. That means in the only two instances in the Bible where God equates a day with 1,000 years, He speaks of the flood. So I think that, well, I'm sure that we have it right. We have it exactly right. And God has confirmed it, by the way, with an infallible proof, as the title of Family Radio's track says, because we had the church age end after 13,000 years of history in the year 1988. On May 21, the day before Pentecost in 1988, and the Great Tribulation began. And when was that written about? Well, you can find information about that, I think, in the book 1994, which was written about 1992. And so it was written quite a while ago. And the only thing was, in the book 1994, there was a misunderstanding. It was correctly telling when the tribulation began, but instead of 23 years from 1988 to 2011, the verse in Matthew 24 that says, "Those days will be shortened for the elect's sake," was misunderstood. And therefore, it's even stated in the book, we would expect a 23-year Great Tribulation period, but since God will shorten the days, it'll go 2,300 days from 1988 to September of 1994. And then, of course, when that didn't happen, we realized that's not what God means about shortening the days. He's referring to saving a great multitude. If the character of that first 2,300 days were to continue throughout the whole length of the Great Tribulation, which is 23 years, then God couldn't save a great multitude because virtually no one was being saved. But He shortened that aspect of the Great Tribulation, the 2,300 days, and the final 17 years is the latter rain, the second outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Jubilee, whatever you want to call it. God calls it all those things. And He's saving all those people, the great multitude we read about in Revelation 7. Right, but the point is that May 21, the day before Pentecost, was written and known about for a number of years. And then when it was understood the Great Tribulation would be exactly 23 years, it was just simply going from May 21, 88 to May 21, 2011. That's where that date came from. It had nothing to do with the flood. It had to do with the end of the 1955 years of the church age, which happened to fall in the 13,000th year of Earth's history. And by the way, remember they went around Jericho once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, seven times, and 6 plus 7 is 13. And then at the last time, the shout was given and the wall came tumbling down, and God speaks of the wall of salvation, which came tumbling down in the churches once the Great Tribulation began, May 21, 1988, the 13,000th year of history, the wall came down. Not one stone shall be left upon another. God flattened the construction the church is building as they're doing their own thing in trying to get people saved even up until today. But never again since that day has anyone become saved within the church, within any congregation in the whole world. And that's why May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011 has been there for quite some time. The only problem was there was a gap. There was a gap between that date and the expected end, which we thought had to occur during the Feast of Ingathering or Tabernacles, which was some months later. And that's why there was a hold up. There was a delay for people to really catch this. And people would just say, Mr. Camping himself for a while, well, we expect the end to be in 2011. Because we don't really know how to correlate Noah's calendar with our Gregorian calendar or the biblical calendar. We don't know. It was a different calendar. So for a while it was just 2011. Knowing the 23-year period would end on May 21, but not understanding how that could relate to the feast that was held in October. That feast was the only feast that wasn't fulfilled of the three major feasts. And so there was a delay in understanding until, remember, we learned about that last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and that taught us that the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles was not October 20th, but October 21st. And that nudged it over just a day, but then somebody noticed, May 21 to October 21. That's pretty, you know, now it takes for us to see these things, they have to be pretty obvious, and God helped. He showed a little bit here, a little bit there, and then there's a gap scene, but now it's 5 months. 5 months. And does the Bible say anything about 5 months? Yeah. Now if it was 6 months, the Bible might say something about 6 months, but does the Bible mention other months in the way that it mentions 5 months? It's only referred to, I think, directly three times in the Bible. In Revelation 9, there's 5 months of torment. In Luke 1, Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months. And in Genesis 7 speaks of 5 months. That's interesting. Well, let's go to Genesis 7. Genesis chapter 7. And where does it talk about 5 months? Well, first, remember God said to Noah, verse 4, for yet 7 days and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. All right. And verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day where all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were open and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And if you read further, that's the day that God shut him in, verse 16. So we know the very day that he spoke to Noah to give that statement, yet 7 days, was the 10th day of the second month. 7 days later was the 17th day of the second month. Well, then God speaks about the waters prevailing upon the earth several times in the following verses, and then verse 24, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days, 5 times 30. We even have some of our months are 30-day months today. Noah's calendar was constructed on 30-day months. 5 times 30 is 150. 5 months the waters prevailed. And to prevail means to be victorious. Remember when Moses, he held his arms up and Israel prevailed. If he put them down, I think it was Amalek, prevailed. So they held his arms up and then Israel prevailed. He was victorious. God's word, which is warning the whole world right now and being mocked and ridiculed and ignored and dismissed, as though it were the word of some lunatic in an asylum. You wouldn't believe a word he said. Puh. Judgment Day, May 21, 2011. Right. What disregard? It is very revealing about the nature of man that we do treat the word of God in this way. But God's word prevails because it becomes very obvious to the whole world on May 21 when the graves open up and when God's people are resurrected, when the living of God's people are raptured, and when there's earthquakes the worldwide. Well, who's talked about that? Does the Quran talk about that? Does the Buddhist writings talk about that? Does any religion in the world speak of a resurrection and a rapture the way the Bible does? None. Everybody knows. And that day they cast their idols to the moles and to the bats. And they know where truth is. They know. They knew always deep down. And so it is the Word of God that will be glorified. And since the whole world is going to hear this, they're going to be warned. Billboards will be standing, or maybe they'll fall, but still you'll be able to make out what they said. Tracts, I'm sure, will be in many locations. The Bible will still be on earth, but ineffective because God isn't going to bless it. And so all will know for that 5-month period, whoever lives through it up until the final day, that God was true to his word. But look at chapter 8 of Genesis, and it says in verse 3, and the ark rested in the 7th month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. The ark rested the 7th month, the 17th day of the month. The waters prevailed for 150 days, 5 months. From the 17th day of the 2nd month when they entered into the ark, 5 months later would be the 17th day of the 7th month. So God is, he's telling us from the shutting of the door, there's 5 months where the waters prevail. Exactly 5 months to the very day. He even spells it out for us so we can't miss it. Yes, chapter 8 goes on to discuss other things because history had to continue. But God, you know how God gives portraits and pictures and he teaches one thing here and then he can go on to another teaching? Well, the teaching here in Genesis 7 is the end of the world after 7 days or after 7,000 years. There will follow a period of 150 days or 5 months where God is glorified and his word prevails. And that's exactly what we find from May 21 to October 21. It isn't that incredible that May 21, the 23rd year of that great tribulation period, that had nobody tried to fit this together, nobody even understood anything about the 7,000 years from the flood at the time the date of the end of the church was discovered and great tribulation began, until May 21, 2011 is a full 23-year period, exactly 8,400 days. Exactly, not 8399, not 8401, 8,400 days falls on May 21, 2011. And, well, we don't have time to get into why 84 is important, but all the types and figures that God uses of the Great Tribulation involve pretty much the number 84. 7 years times 12 is 84. 70 years times 12, the number of months in a year, 840. And 3.5 days, 84 hours, and so on. But God is confirming to us, it is a fact. It is a fact. He has revealed to us, I mean, it had to come all the way down that whole biblical calendar of history precisely to fall on key dates that relate to Pentecost. The church ended the day before Pentecost, that relate to the Feast of Trumpets, that relates to the Feast of Jubilee, and so on. All these dates were exact. Okay, does anyone have anything, a question or a comment that you would like? Yes, Lester, please come up to the microphone.
I was going to ask about the I was home, I'm thinking about 11,013 BC. I was wondering, like, could that fit the puzzle of 2011, the 11,013 BC?
Well, 11,013 is the date we come to as we relate the biblical calendar, you know, that God reveals in the Bible to our calendar, the Gregorian calendar, and when you lay them together, then we see that that's the creation date. Now, some people, and I think Mr. Camping has mentioned this, the date itself, 11,013 BC, there's two very important dates in the world. One was the first coming of Christ, and the other is the second coming of Christ. And Christ came after 11,000 years of history in 7 BC, and he'll come after 13,000 years next year. And so in that date you have 11 and then a 0 and then 13. But I think that's a minor thing.
When the people knew that the flood was coming, why come people did not know, or they either did they know that it was coming? Why come they didn't, like, you know, say?
Well, they knew.
Noah, I suppose you're wrong and all that, you know.
They
could have said to Noah, I suppose you're wrong and all that, you know.
Thank you, Lester. And do you think anybody would have said that to Noah? You think anybody would have said to Noah, because God told him 120 years, and then God told him the very day would be the 17th day of the second month, and did Noah tell anyone? Yes, because he was a preacher of righteousness. And here's what God says in Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. So the construction of the ark was a literal, physical condemnation of the world. As he constructed that over the 120-year period, they wouldn't have been condemned if they didn't see it or hear about it, but through it, he condemned the world, and without question, he was warning people as often as he could. And keep in mind, the world of that day is very different than the world of our present day. How many continents were there? There was one continent at that time, because it would be in the days of Peleg. Much later, God would divide the continents. How many languages were there? There was one language, because it would be at the Tower of Babel much later that God would confound the languages and multiply them. So Noah had a task to warn the people of his day, which probably numbered a few million. We don't know exactly how many, but say the size of Philadelphia or the size of New York in population, let's even give that many. For 120 years, he was building the ark, a preacher of righteousness, and there weren't people across the oceans anywhere, because there was only one continent. There were not a small group of people on an island here or there. They were all basically, probably, as the Tower of Babel indicates, pretty much living in one society except for a few nomads, you know, people who would go off on their own. And he didn't have to have his message translated into 150-some languages. Whatever language it was one language, and everybody could understand. So Noah would have been telling them and warning them, and without, I think, any question, even though the Bible doesn't tell us this directly, people would have come to him and said, "Noah, you're a good man. We can't deny it. You're a good man." I kind of picture Mr. Camping as I think of Noah. "You're a good man, Noah, but you're awful crazy. You're awful crazy, and you're going to have egg on your face, Noah. You're telling us the 17th day of the second month? Well, I'll see you on the 18th day. I'll see you on the 18th day, Noah. And by the way, why don't you, let's make a deal." Somebody wrote us through the track this week. Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. I've seen that more and more. "Let's make a deal. I'll give you so much money, and you give me that ark when it doesn't happen. You give me the ark when it doesn't happen." Because what would that ark be worth? I don't know. It could have been a good museum piece, maybe somebody would think. Hey, it would be a permanent record of the craziness of this man. There's only one problem. Only one problem. What happened on the 18th day of the second month? A lot of water. A lot of water was overcoming the people. And the deluge had begun, and for 40 days, water was coming from everywhere, it seemed. So Noah, of course, in his wisdom and knowing, there was no question in his mind because he heard directly from God. And he believed God. And so Noah would have said, "Look, you're not going to be here. Or you're not going to be concerned about the 18th day because you're going to be in big trouble." And why would he want to make a deal and have this guy hoping it didn't happen? Why would anyone want to make a deal with someone hoping it doesn't happen? They're not going to be motivated to go to God and read the Bible. They're going to hope, "Oh, I made a deal. I'm going to profit." And they're going to be even more set against it. Well, the thing is that May 22nd of 2011 is what day in the biblical calendar? The 18th day of the second month. And people are saying, "I'll see you on May 22. They're saying it's the 18th day of the second month. And, well, I'm sure if they continue with that attitude, they're going to be here. Because the world's going to be here. They'll be here. But God's people won't be here. And, you know, when people so confidently and assuredly say, "I'll see you May 22. We had a man on the group Time and Judgment, which is a group we started, and very confidently, he is an atheist, an evolutionist. He doesn't believe a thing about the Bible. "I'll see you on the 22nd day." And how many in the churches say that also? Well, they're prophesying. They're prophesying, aren't they? Aren't they telling us about the future? They're telling us what's going to happen on the 22nd day of May next year. Well, so is God. God's saying May 21 is the appointed day of judgment. And man's very intelligent, man's very intelligent, and really people have let the technological advances really inflate their minds, and they think there's something, and they think they know what's going to happen. And man says, well, the 22nd of May is going to be just like any other day, and I'll see you. So really, here's you know, what people are faced with. Believe God and the Bible, or believe man and his wisdom. That's the option. That's the option. And of course, people are going to disbelieve. If they're not saved, they're not going to believe that that is Judgment Day. Let me just look at one verse and then we'll stop. And thanks, Les. In John 8, verse 45, and then we'll take a break. John 8, 45 says, "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Read that again. The reason they don't believe is what? Because I tell you the truth. If I told you a lie, you would believe. People believe in Santa Claus. People, or they teach their children, and young children believe. They believe in the Easter Bunny. People believe in UFOs. They're convinced. Absolutely convinced. They believe there's life out there. They believe a lot of things. People believe in evolution. If you believe in evolution, come on. Come on. You believe that the world began from nothing. It just exploded and everything developed. Well, now they say, after talking to this man on the list, that the world developed 4.5 billion years ago and the universe 13 billion years ago. Okay, but where did the stuff come from that exploded? That's the only question we have to ask them. Whatever they want to call it, the ooze or whatever substance it was that exploded and created into everything, where did it come from? Where was its beginning? And The man didn't have an answer for that. Because there is no answer for that except that stuff is eternal. It's always been. There's been some kind of matter, whatever it was. And what they try to do is push it as far back into time past that they can. Now they're billions of years back there. Well, go back further. Call it trillions. But where did the stuff come from? Millions or trillions of years ago that finally exploded. And there's no answer because there's either eternal matter or there's eternal God. And now what does it take more faith to believe? That God spoke, who's an everlasting being, he's always been, and he created the world, or that some stuff somewhere, which nobody can explain where it came from, exploded, and eventually up until this point we have all these people and all these animals and all these plants and everything so intricate and perfectly designed it was before the fall and so on. Now, you see, atheists have a faith. They have a gospel. They have a religion. Because it takes a lot of faith to believe in something so ridiculous. So why do they believe it? Because it's a lie. Man can believe a lie. Why are the churches still numbering about 2 billion in the world? And God is done with the churches. And the churches teach all kinds of different gospels, all kinds of different ways of salvation, and so on, because God has given them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. They believe a lie, which is easy for man to do, whose heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. We have a lying heart. And Jesus says, look, here's the problem. Here's why you don't believe that May 21 is Judgment Day. Because it's the truth. And you're conceived in sin, and you're born speaking lies, and you grow up in an atmosphere in this world where their lies are fed to you from a baby to a toddler upward in Santa and the Easter Bunny and so on, and it's the truth that sounds strange to your ears. As Pilate said, what is truth? And that's man. That's the nature of man. Okay, let's close. I'm sorry I went a little long. Let's close and we'll have a coffee break. Dear Heavenly